And one of the girls raises her hand and she says, "Oh my God, Batsheva, it sounds like you're telling us we should be masturbating." And I said, "I am telling you, you should be masturbating." And she said, "Oh my God, that's like the worst. When the boys want to hurdle the worst insult at us, they'll say, 'You are so hard up, you probably masturbate.'" And I said to her, I know, can you believe it? I know, can't believe it. And I started laughing. I said to her, "Well, the next time any boy says that to you, you turn to him and you say, 'You should only be so lucky as to get to be with a woman who masturbates.'"
Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. Joining me today is Dr. Batsheva Marcus, a certified sex therapist and the author of Satisfaction Guaranteed: How to Have the Sex You've Always Wanted. She has spent her life helping women reclaim pleasure in their bodies and spirit, and her career has been dedicated to bridging the gap between the medical and the psychological in women's sexual health. I am so excited to have her chat with us more for Masturbation May and really dive deeper into masturbation. All right, Batsheva, I am so excited to talk with you more about masturbation. You know, it's Masturbation May coming up, or we're in it, I guess, when we are releasing this episode. And I think that we don't talk about masturbation enough and the value that it can bring to your sex life, to pleasure. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what your thoughts are on masturbation.
Oh my God, we could talk about masturbation forever. I am a sex therapist, and I just recently released a book, Satisfaction Guaranteed: How to Have the Sex You've Always Wanted. And for 25 years, I ran a women's sexual health center, the largest in the country, actually. And one of the things that was so unusual about our center was that it always merged the physiological, the things that were going on with your body, medications, hormones, you know, medical treatments, and the psychological, the things that you sort of, you know, think, what we think of as classically, like, of, you know, your attitude towards sex, your feelings about your body, your thoughts about your relationship, right? When you merge those two things, you get very, very powerful responses. And I, you know, masturbation, I know that sounds like, okay, now what about the masturbation piece, right? But masturbation kind of is at the core and the center of almost every part of sexual health, right? Because masturbation, and, you know, a lot of people will argue about the definition of masturbation, right? But bottom line is that it's touching yourself to produce pleasure, right? So you can learn about your body most effectively by masturbating. And that word masturbation is so scary to people. It makes people feel, I don't know, afraid. And so sometimes I'll say, just touch yourself. Using the term touch yourself really makes people feel sometimes more comfortable than using the term masturbation. But the bottom line is, if you can't figure out what kind of touch and where the touch is and how the touch is that feels best to you, it's going to be very, very hard to have a sexual relationship with somebody else. And there's just tremendous value in having a sexual relationship with yourself as well. And I can go down that path. We can go down the partnered path. Tell me where you want to go with this.
Yeah, I love all of those points that you brought up, because that's something that I've talked about the podcast. I talk with my clients about all the time, but learning your own body is so crucial to having bettered partnered sex, but also like connecting with yourself, like, and spending that time with yourself is so valuable.
I have a really funny story. This is from years and years ago. I was teaching in a high school. It was like a one-off Jewish high school brought me in. I have kind of an unusual background because I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish household, and I still consider myself Orthodox. And, you know, obviously, like many, many faiths, you know, the more religious elements of the faith are often a little more repressive from a sexual standpoint. So nobody talked about any of this stuff. Anyway, so a high school brought me in to talk to their, I think it was the 9th, 10th, and 11th graders all together, one session, you know, all the girls, basically. And at one point, I said to them, you know, you should take out a mirror and you should learn your body. You should look at your vulva. You should look at your vagina. You should figure out where your clitoris is. And you should start touching yourself to see what feels good. And one of the girls raises her hand and she says, "Oh my God, Batsheva, it sounds like you're telling us we should be masturbating." And I said, "I am telling you, you should be masturbating." And she said, "Oh my God, that's like the worst. When the boys want to hurdle the worst insult at us, they'll say, 'You are so hard up, you probably masturbate.'" And I said to her, "I know, can you believe it? I know, can't believe it." And I started laughing. I said to her, "Well, the next time any boy says that to you, you turn to him and you say, 'You should only be so lucky as to get to be with a woman who masturbates.'"
Ooh, I love that. I have never heard that before.
Because you and I know, like, the way that we know how to give pleasure is by touching your own body. And that, you know, we have so many funny ideas about that. We think of that as something we only could do by ourselves. And very often, I'll encourage women to do it with their partners, right? You want to be touching yourself with your partner. There's a million incidences where masturbating or touching yourself with your partner makes the sex with your partner sexier, more fun, easier, makes it easier to have an orgasm. And masturbating is not just something you do in a locked room by yourself, you know? And masturbating can, and if you are by yourself, you can make it be something that you do sort of quickly because you want an orgasm and you want to relax. Or it could be something that you actually make time for yourself and you put out candles and you are in the bathtub and you have really nice bath oils. And it could be an experience that you have with yourself. I think we need to sort of get a better handle what masturbating means. And people tend to think of it as, "Oh, I'm alone in my room." I mean, I think people's primary idea about masturbating, tell me if you think I'm wrong, is that I'm alone in my room and I'm doing kind of as fast as I can to get it over with because it's something shameful.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I love that you pointed out those two differences because I create both of those experiences for me. I'm a single woman. So sometimes you just want to go in and you do want to just get off, right? You just want to get right to the point. You know what works.
You want to fall asleep.
Other times, exactly. Exactly. Or you want to start your day because I'm a morning masturbator.
Okay, but yes.
Then you,
or you have a really hot thought and you want to be able to get on with your day. Exactly.
Yep. Then the other situation is where you create this experience, this opportunity to explore, this opportunity to receive, this opportunity to try new things, all of that. And that can be a whole experience. Like, that can be so beautiful. And it's not just this, oh, you know, you only masturbate if you're single, you only masturbate, you know, when you're horny. Like, sure, maybe, but you can utilize it in so many other ways too.
You know, it's so funny. We have such weird ideas about masturbating that I will have people say to me, "Oh, like, once you're in a partnered relationship, you wouldn't masturbate anymore." And you know what happens there? That's really complicated because, and especially the women often feel like the men, "Oh my God, if he's masturbating, I must be not good enough," kind of. And we need to start thinking about masturbating as sort of a healthy part of our life. Like, that is so, it's heart-wrenching to me when a woman will say, "You know, I found out my husband, you know, sometimes watches porn and masturbates, and like, it made me feel so terrible about myself." When that is, they make jokes about 99% of men masturbate and 1% lie about it, right? So all of us, if we want to have partnered sex, can have partnered sex with masturbation or without masturbation. And many of us who aren't in partnered situations should be having sex by ourselves, and that's masturbating. And the more, I feel like the more we are able to appreciate that, sort of the broader and the wider our repertoire gets. Because here, should I talk about some ways you can use it with a partner? Because I feel like people don't think about that way. Okay, so,
yeah, let's talk about mutual masturbation.
Wait, say that again?
I was just saying, yeah, let's talk about mutual masturbation.
So one way to masturbate with a partner is mutual masturbation, right? Like, each of you are masturbating and you're listening to a sexy story, or you're telling each other a sexy story, or you're taking turns, you're watching each other masturbating. Like, how much of a turn on is it for your partner to watch you get turned on and have an orgasm and watch you do that to yourself? And sometimes you're just tired, the two of you, and it's just easier. Like, you know what I mean? It's just faster and easier. It's kind of like your morning quickie that you're talking about. Like, for a couple, like, sometimes just masturbating, lying up close with each other, snuggled up, and everybody masturbating to orgasm to themselves is so just fun and efficient. I hate to use the word efficient, but efficient is what I mean, and amazing. sometimes letting your partner watch you masturbate. And I think honestly, of all the sexual, almost of all sexual activities, I feel like that is one of the most intimate. And I feel like that's one that people have a hard time, right? It's so weird when we think about it that we're so much more comfortable. Like a woman will say, well, you know, we've been dating for a while. We have intercourse all the time. The idea of letting him watch me touch myself is so scary. And it makes a certain, like, we don't think about it, but it makes a certain amount of sense because you're being seen, right? You're being seen in a way you're not when you're having intercourse with somebody, right? Or when you're like in some way locked in the body with the other person, you're not as visible and you're not as on display. And that's really, really puts you in a very vulnerable position, but a very hot, a very sexy one. And a way to make yourself sort of open yourself up and be vulnerable with your partner. You know, I'll often talk to people about trying that. And for women watching their male partners masturbate, like often they'll learn what he likes, what feels good to him, what kind of strokes work for him. And there's something pretty amazing about watching somebody allow you to watch them experience pleasure like that.
Yeah. And I love that. And you talked about like as a woman watching a man, but it's vice versa. The men get to see you touch yourself and learn, okay, so she likes it this way. She likes it that way. You know, this is an area she spends a lot of time on or avoids. And so it's an opportunity for them to also learn how to maybe touch you a little bit differently that does bring you more pleasure. I am one of the women who has a hard time masturbating with a partner.
I think a lot of women do. I just need to say, like, I'm telling you, of all, it feels like a certain way, almost the most vulnerable. So you are not alone.
How do you overcome that? Like, do you have any tips or tricks to help us share that more vulnerable side of ourselves?
So I'm going to just back up a second and talk about sort of an easier version of that first, because sometimes I'll have women who talk about the fact that most women can't orgasm from intercourse. I'm sure you've said that 70,000 times. I'm sure you're saying this until you're blue in the face and women still don't seem to hear it. But only 30% or 3 out of 10 women can have an orgasm from just a penis in the vagina. Most women need to have additional stimulation. So I'll say to women, well, can you use your hand while you're having intercourse, right? And that's another form of masturbating while they're having intercourse. And that is, I mean, that for some women is a huge hurdle. But that feels like less of a hurdle than lying on the bed and being watched entirely, right? Am I right? Do you have a sense
about
that?
Absolutely. I 100% agree that easier, but also for me, I'm a vibrator girl. And so using my hand actually doesn't do a whole lot for me. And it's easier for me to bring a vibrator in with a partner like that.
Okay, right. So using a vibrator while you're having intercourse is also easier than have your partner sit on the edge of the bed or sit on a chair and watch you lie on the bed and just bring yourself to orgasm with a vibrator. Again, you're making yourself so vulnerable. But the truth is, I feel like when we're honest about sex, that is what makes sex so powerful, I think, in the end. You're getting naked with someone. And I don't just mean physically naked. You're like emotionally naked. You're vulnerable. Like this is your connection to somebody. And allowing yourself to be that vulnerable takes some work. And you were saying like, how does one do that? How do you get to that place? So some of the sort of tricks that I've, you know, suggested to people is, first of all, a conversation about it is always very, very helpful. Like somehow it's like these meta conversations, you know, it's kind of like when you start a conversation saying, I'm about to say something that's really hard for me to say. So can you listen? And you know, the person will then sort of hopefully be less judgmental as opposed to just diving in. So I'd love to experiment with you're watching me masturbate, but I'm feeling very shy about it. So just that kind of conversation that when you get a, oh my God, that would be so hot, somehow makes the whole thing easier, is in my experience with my clients. The other thing is, I'll tell you some lighting and music and proximity. Those are like three things that you can play with to make it more sort of manageable. So some women like to start with a pretty dark room, right? right? Right. In a perfect world, you'd be like, here, watch me masturbate. You sit on this chair, leave the lights on, bright lights. I'm going to lie across the bed and I'm just going to go at it with my vibrator, my hand, my lotion, whatever. All right. And that's asking a lot of ourselves to start with, right? But sort of a dim room or even a fairly dark room where it's more the outlines and the moaning and the, you know, experience of watching your shadows masturbate may feel much less scary to somebody, or having like a sheet over you where they're watching you and the sheets maybe pull down over your breasts or like, you know, wherever, you know, or you're on your stomach and so your ass is up, you know what I mean? Like, but there's a sheet that you're kind of playing with at the same time. So you're not feeling totally exposed, right? So that's when I talk about lighting. I feel like that's a biggie. And music. I feel like there's something freeing about music. I think all of us have some songs that make us feel like wild women, you know, it's like, and so putting on music, and for some people that's like slow, sexy music. And for some women that's like, girls just want to have fun. But there's some, the same music that allows us to dance will often allow us to just dance in front of our partners in a different way. And masturbating is basically that. And then the third area to play with is proximity. Like, how close is your partner? And in a weird way, closer is easier.
Really? I'm shocked to hear that.
Well, you think about it. Like I said before, if you're having intercourse and you use the vibrator during intercourse, that feels a lot less vulnerable than if, let's say your partner's a man, if he's sitting on a chair across the room, right? If he's kind of lying next to you and just sort of stroking you, again, he's not getting that full picture. He or she is not getting that full, you know, full view access. And this is something, by the way, that I have found that women in women relationships have a much easier time doing.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. I think there's a lot of things, but this is one that's just easier, which is why I'm falling into this man-woman format. But so closer is easier. Closer is easier because they only have a vision of a one part of you. And what's good about closer is also, if you want, they can be taking part. They can be stroking their hand down your neck or running their finger on your thigh if you want them to, or playing with your hair, or rubbing their hands on your nipples, whatever you may want them to do lightly while they're watching you masturbate. It gets, I think, now I'd love your take on this because this is what I'm hearing from my clients, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this or your thoughts from other women that you've heard from. The idea of somebody who sits just watching you, like that already moves into that voyeurism thing. It is extremely, extremely hot for some people, but that is much, it feels much more exhibitionist and much scarier.
I would agree. And it also, when you talked about like the lighting and all of that, it feels very sterile. If you set a chair right here and all the lights are on and you're kind of just staring at you, all attention on you, and for somebody who doesn't want all the attention on them or has a hard time receiving all of the attention on them, I think that could definitely be very scary.
Scary, extremely scary, extremely scary. And it may be something that eventually you find extremely hot, right? And it might be something that your partner could sit and be masturbating while he's watching you because it's so hot to see this woman on the bed where she, you know, yes, I mean, I'm not talking about a spotlight, you know, I'm not talking about like gym lights and, you know, no, but, you know, in a bedroom where somebody's sitting, where they have a full view of you, it is really scary. And you don't ever have to feel like you have to get there. Like, it's not like that's the goal, but the goal is to try to be more and more comfortable in as many situations as you can, because it will just allow you to experiment and play more. So, and I want to add something else. Can I add something else? Or am I talking too much?
No, go ahead.
So we have, I think, a misconception about what everything needs to be comfortable, right? And this is complicated because clearly we want a situation where there's consent and there's an overall assessment that you want to be doing this thing with this partner, right? That's a decision. That's a conscious decision. But comfort is not always the most erotic or the most sexy. To be honest, awkward is often awkward. A little uncomfortable is often much hotter. And so I'll say to people, embrace the awkward. If you start feeling a little uncomfortable, you are probably in the right direction. You're probably heading in the right direction, right? Like, you know, it's such a bizarre situation. Like, we feel like we get into these sex lives. If we're in a regular sex life with somebody, or even with ourselves, and we should just be totally comfortable doing the same things. And we tend to do the same things again and again because it's comfortable and it doesn't feel scary and it doesn't feel risky at all. But it's not that hot. Most relationships, people will talk about being the hottest early on. And that's when you're a little nervous and you're a little uncomfortable and you're a little unsure of yourself and you don't know how the person's going to react. And that just adds, your erotic mind likes to have that kind of awkwardness or unease. And so if you're thinking that you want to start learning how to masturbate with your partner and you can push the limits just a little bit, you may find that it really pays off.
Are you ready to start understanding yourself better, learning and recognizing your patterns, and really develop a relationship with yourself? If this sounds like you, the Unleashing My Power, a Women's Empowerment and Gratitude Journal is for you. This journal was specifically curated for women just like you to help you take back your power and develop and go to the next level in life. My friend Danielle and I created this journal because of our own experiences and what we were looking for in a daily practice to improve our connection to self and really become connected with ourselves. This is game-changing, and the feedback that we are getting from other women who have started using this journal is absolutely amazing. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to jordandanelle.com/journal, and it'll take you right there. I hope you enjoy. Be sure to go snag yours right away and leave me a review. Tell us what you think about it. Slide in the DMs. I know that your life will change when you start using this journal.
I love that. I actually just saw something on Instagram recently that was talking about how excitement and kind of anxiety, or maybe like that awkward feeling, can all feel very similar in the body. And so when you're feeling really awkward, it could actually maybe be a little bit of excitement that is masked or felt differently. Yes. Or perceived differently. And that excitement just kind of feeds into creating a perfect experience or a great experience.
Totally. Again, early in relationships, when you used to get that, what we call butterflies in our stomach, right? Those, like, you get those, like, butterflies in your stomach is what people often talk about getting when they have to get up to speak publicly, right? It's that same sort of nervous system reaction, which really does bring up the heat. And, you know, masturbating is just a great way to sort of push the boundaries a little, and by yourself as well. You know, if you've never masturbated by putting, let's say, something in your butt, you know, you want to try that. If you've never used a vibrator and you want to try a vibrator for the first time, if you want to try two vibrators, you know, a vibrator inside, a vibrator outside, like, just sort of try, or be on, turn over, do it when you're on your stomach or on all fours. Like, there's all kinds of ways to push the boundaries by yourself as well as when you're with.
I so love that you brought that up, because there was something that I've personally been kind of exploring and playing with, and that with my vibrator, I go to the same toy every single time, same position. It works, and it works great. And I know that it works great, and it reliably works great. But I have kind of been challenging myself to explore different types of vibrators, different types of sensations, different types of positions, different ways of being touched, like different everything. And so it has been really fun exploring the way something feels different, or, you know, like trying two toys.
Yes.
That's fun. It's different. And 10 out of 10 recommend.
I think it's great. Like, I'm always laughing at using the two toys. I will just say, takes a certain level of coordination. I think of myself as incredibly uncoordinated. So, like, it's a lot I'm like trying to do. But again, like, the same way I'll say to couples, so you'll try something new, and the worst that will happen is it won't be great, and you'll just end up laughing. And that's the truth with yourself also. You'll try something. You'll try a new vibrator. Didn't really work so great for you. Or you'll try two vibrators, and one, the battery gets turned on your way to work, and it's buzzing when you walk in the office. So it's just a matter of sort of having fun with the changes. But for sure, embrace the awkwardness. I think I should make up t-shirts that say embrace the awkwardness.
Yes, you should. Earlier on, you had kind of brought up like the shame and the stigma around female masturbation in particular. I would love to dive into some of the misconceptions and beliefs about masturbation that perpetrates this continued shame and stigma.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I'm a little bit, in general, I was going to say, I'm a little bit stumped at where this comes from. I don't quite get it, even though I see it constantly in my practice, constantly. And I have, a chunk of my practice that come from very religious homes, right? Either Jewish religious or Catholic religious or Christian religious. And often they will feel tremendous amount of shame when it comes to masturbation. But my non-religious and secular clients also feel a huge amount of shame when it comes to masturbation. And in some ways, it's easier for the religious patients because they feel like at least they understand it. Like there's something to hang it on. Oh, I grew up in a religious home and masturbation was frowned upon. That's why I feel so negative about it. And I feel like if you don't come from a religious home and you're from a secular house or a house where even sex might not have been seen as bad or even positive, and you still feel ashamed of it. So, but it seems like it's ubiquitous. Like so many people feel it. So the first thing I want, if you're listening to this and you feel embarrassed about masturbating, like you haven't been able to do it because it feels shameful, or you do it sometimes and you hurry because you feel embarrassed about it, or you wouldn't talk to anybody about it because you're embarrassed about it, I want you to know that you're not alone. Like so many people feel the same way. And the only, like, and I'm usually not that interested in historical analyses, because who cares? I just want to help people fix their problems, right? Like that's, But I just wonder if it's still coming from this, that sex should be procreative, like that there's no reason to have sex if you're not having intercourse in order to have a baby, right? So therefore, pleasure, just pleasure for pleasure's sake is not okay. And I think, maybe it just taps into that sort of very puritanical idea that many of us breathe in the air, even though we don't necessarily believe it. We, consciously, we don't believe it, but subconsciously, we breathed in this idea that doing something just for pleasure is kind of not okay. Think about it. Like how often do we just take a bath in the middle of the day you raise your hand? Yay. You are so special.
I absolutely do take a bath in the middle of the day.
I love you. I feel like for so many of us, just taking pleasure, just doing something just because, it's easy to say, well, I really enjoy my Zumba class. It gives me pleasure, but it's also very healthy. It's like something that I'm doing for good, or, I'm eating this because it tastes good, but I'm also think it's good for me. But I think it's really hard for us to just allow ourselves to just do something just because it gives us pleasure. And I think masturbation may fall into that category. So that's the first thing. And the second thing takes us way back to what I said in the beginning, where that young woman in school, like the boys were saying, you're so hard up. It's seen as like a second best somehow. Like that touching yourself, you only do that if you can't find somebody to touch you, right? And that is crazy thinking, but I don't know kind of where that comes from. And some cultures, it's fascinating. In some cultures, it's really much more problematic. Like, I don't know if problematic is the word, but like in our culture, boys tend to start masturbating at young ages and they masturbate until they start having sex. I think average age of people that start having intercourse is usually, I think, 15 or 16. That's the average age, sometimes 17. But if you move into the islands, the Caribbeans, and you start interviewing some of the men there, they will not masturbate. They will not. So they start having intercourse at like 11, 12 with older people because masturbating is considered extremely non-manly. So
interesting.
Yeah. So it feels to me like in religious cultures, men masturbating has had all of these like spilling seed, ejaculating when you're not procreating. It had all of those. You can't do that. That's like a big sin. And then women shouldn't be masturbating because women shouldn't be thinking about sex at all, right? Thinking about sex is terrible. So masturbating is just really like you want to just shut that whole part of you down. So I think that's where we get that from. And you don't see it in popular culture. You don't see it. You don't see it in books. You don't see it in movies. You don't see it in TV shows. Like it is so rare that every once in a while you do. I have to give Bridgerton a lot of credit for that. Bridgerton had some great masturbation scenes, but you just don't see it. It's not like somebody's like, the heroine is so excited and happy, she goes home and she masturbates. That's just not what you see, right? Like Emily in Paris. Do you ever see Emily in Paris masturbating? Do you know that show?
I don't.
Oh my God. Okay, never mind.
I do know Bridgerton, but I am the worst when it comes to TVs and movies. I don't see anything.
Okay, well, there you go. You take baths. I watch bad television. So Emily in Paris is this like very like light, as fluffy as you could possibly get about a young woman in Paris whose life is, you know, just a dream. She's marketing in Paris in most magnificent outfits. And thinking about it, this girl should be masturbating every scene, but she isn't.
I really think you're onto something here, though, because I grew up feeling like sex was not necessarily for pleasure. For my pleasure. It was more so for my partner's pleasure. And I think that there is a lot of these old stories that have been told that sex is for men's pleasure, sex is for procreation. And so when we start talking about masturbation and women having pleasure from sex, I really think you are onto something there.
Women don't talk with each other about it. I mean, when was the last time you had a conversation with, I mean, maybe you do, but many, many women just don't have a lot of conversations about masturbating.
It's so funny. I was hanging out with a buddy of mine earlier today and literally had a conversation with a man about masturbation, but I am different in that conversations about sex and masturbation come up very often in my personal life.
Right. Well, go you. That is amazing. It's funny as we're talking about it, because I feel like as a sex therapist, I get so many questions all the time from people on the street, people in my, you know, faith community. I once had somebody come up to me at a funeral to ask me a question, like people just, weddings, but I don't remember a conversation where people were talking to me about their masturbation habits like that. I mean, my clients do, but so I think that's amazing. Go you.
Yeah. You know, I've saw some studies about how women who talk about sex or talk about masturbation, talk about these things, have better sex lives because we're having open conversations. And I think that that is so true, that the more you talk about it, the more you learn different things from your friends, the more you normalize just whatever everybody is doing. And it opens up your pleasure potential, in my opinion, the more you talk about it.
Yes. Talking about it is absolutely critical. That's why I said at the beginning, if you want to talk to your partner about mutual masturbation, talk about it first, because talking about it does exactly the two things you said. One, it sort of educates you, gives you more information. And the only way to get rid of shame is to bring it out of the dark and into the light. And the only way to do that is to talk about it. So the more you talk about it, kind of the less hard it gets to talk about, the easier it is, the more normal it is. And yeah, and the better it's going to be for you.
I love that. I want to switch gears a little bit to talk a little bit more about vibrators and masturbation. And, you know, you did your dissertation. Tell us a little bit about your dissertation.
Yeah, my PhD dissertation was on women's vibrator use. And it was like 25 years ago. It was a long time ago. And it really, nobody had done any research pretty much on this. And it was qualitative research. So I took a group of women and I basically did long interviews with them about their sex lives. And then I gave them a vibrator and I asked them to use it once a week for 4 weeks. And then I did long form interviews with them again at the end to kind of see how did it change their sex life. That's what I was interested in. And look, it's now 25 years later. So a lot has changed. Vibrators are way more ubiquitous. Like they're all over the place. And the percentage of women using vibrators has gone way up. Vibrators make it easier. I think vibrators are the most underused tool in women's arsenals, sexual arsenals. It makes it so much easier to have an orgasm and often a stronger and more pleasurable orgasm. And the women who start using them usually love using them. In my dissertation, I was looking for what was going on with the women and it was fascinating, right? It made it easier to have an orgasm. They had better orgasms. They were really hesitant to talk to their partner about it, even though they thought they were fine. They were like, of course I'll talk to him about it, but then they didn't. So that was, you know, exploring what that was about. They felt guilty about how fast and easy it was. Fascinating, right? I thought that was super fascinating. And they were sensitive to things like it not being natural. That's the one I hit up most against. Like it's not natural, right? And I'm always laughing. I'm like, and I'm wearing eyeglasses. That's not natural either. if I didn't, I would just not be able to see the beautiful pictures that are out there, right? And that would be natural. Or you do use electric light bulbs, right? You don't rely on candles, which are much more natural, you know? So, but that is something that women sort of hit up against, is this natural thing. But one of the issues that comes up with vibrators, I think, is that it's easier. Again, women who are in relationships with other women do not seem to have a problem bringing the vibrator into the relationship. Women are adopting vibrators to use on their own, but many women are still extraordinarily hesitant to bring vibrators into use with their partner, their male partners, even though the male partners are far and away happy about it once they get used to the idea. Like, it makes their job so much easier. Like, their hands get tired, their mouths get tired. It's fun to watch their partner get super turned on and have an orgasm. We just have to switch, we have to flip the narrative. And so the women's fear is often their preconceived notion about how their partner is going to feel about it often stops them from bringing it into a partnered situation when they could.
Yeah. I'm curious, do you think that all women should own at least one vibrator?
So I never say should. As a sex therapist, I'll say this. My first preference for younger women is that they learn if they can't have an orgasm with their hand. Now, most of us can't. Still, not most of us, I'd say. So what the statistic is that 3 out of 10 women can have an orgasm from a penis and a vagina. 70 to 80% can have one from a hand or a mouth, right? And 94% can have them with a vibrator. So that gives you a pretty significant percentage of women who can't have one with a hand or mouth. I think the broader the more ways you can orgasm, the easier your sex life is. And I do, and people are always asking me, like, am I going to get dependent on a vibrator, right? Like, that's the question, dependent on a vibrator. And you can't, your nerves don't change. You know this, you're an NP, right? Or PA, right? So your nerves actually don't, you're not hurting your nerves or destroying your nerves or anything like that. You're just raising the threshold that your body needs in order to pass over that orgasm threshold. And that's a short-term change. So if you stop using the vibrator for a few weeks, your body will just go back to square one. Having said that, do you remember that show Bewitched? Oh, you don't watch television. There was a TV show called Bewitched. And, you know, at some point she used to wiggle her nose to do her magic. That was the thing. And I would say, like, if you could wiggle your nose and have dinner on the table rather than having to chop and dice and slice and you know, saute, you probably do that a lot, but that doesn't mean that some days you wouldn't want to slice and dice and saute, right? Because there's something fun about making dinner as well, right? So using a vibrator, often women will start to prefer it because it's just easier and efficient and it works into your life well and the orgasms are really strong. And I guess I would say that for every woman over 25, she should probably own a vibrator. And for younger women, if you've tried and you can't have an orgasm with your hand, then definitely buy a vibrator. Like, there's nothing better about an orgasm with your hand. It's just that if you have more options, you know, that's nice. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, I've actually done podcasts about this, but I was 15 when I had my first vibrator. And so I never really explored with my hand until I became an adult when I was like, hey, I'd like to learn how to use my hand
and have that go. And
what that feels like. So it works, but it takes a lot more time and I get impatient when I know that my vibrator is 2 feet away from me that can work like that.
It's the chomping and the dicing and the slicing, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's right. So, and I definitely think there's something about, although I've never seen any data, I've looked for this and it isn't there, but I do think there's something about the way that you learn how to have an orgasm initially, the nerve pathways duplicate. So, and you're used to that. If you know how to have an orgasm with your hand, it will continue to be easier with your hand. And then if your body's learned to do it with the vibrations from a vibrator, and also certain vibrations, like if you've learned to have an orgasm with a vibrator A and it has different kinds of vibrations and vibrator B, you may have a harder time learning to have orgasms that way. Now, you still can. It does not change, but your neurological repetition just seems to like that pathway. So I do think, I feel very, very strongly that we have to get rid of this idea that, you know, an orgasm that you have from a penis and a vagina is the gold standard. And the orgasm that you have from a hand or a mouth, that's your silver medal. And the orgasm you have from a vibrator is your bronze medal. Like, That's bullshit. Like, we have to get rid of that. An orgasm is an orgasm is an orgasm. Like, however you have them, however is easiest and fun and works for that time and that moment, that's an A-plus orgasm. I don't give a shit if it's from your mouth, his mouth, well, not your mouth, that would be pretty hard, his mouth, her mouth, or a vibrator or a hand. The only reason I wouldn't hand a 12-year-old a vibrator is for the reason you said, which is if she can learn how to use her hand and get pleasure that way, or if she can learn how to, right, give herself pleasure with her hand or a shower head or something like that, lighter ways of stimulation or an orgasm from a mouth, that would be lovely to add into the orgasm from the vibrator. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's important to change it up. Like, don't do the same thing every single time so that you are, I don't know if the right word goes into the, like, the neuroplasticity, but so that you're not creating like this pathway of this is the only way I receive pleasure, but you're changing it up and you're keeping your body wondering, you're keeping your body guessing, and it allows you to probably receive more pleasure in multiple ways.
Yeah, I think that that is so important. So important. The more you can kind of experiment, let your body try different things. And you could try your hand and see if you get it turned on. And then if you don't get the whole way to your orgasm, then you can whip out your vibrator. Like, one doesn't preclude the other. I think the two populations I might say are exceptions. The two populations are recent mothers of small children who really just need their sex to be efficient, like really need it to be efficient. And as women head into perimenopause and menopause, it does get often harder to have an orgasm and to have strong ones. And so don't beat up on yourself. If you want to use a strong vibrator every single time, that's amazing.
Yeah. I love that you pointed that out, because I think that we need that reminder that things change in our life. Our hormones change, you know, time management changes, and we need to be cognizant and aware of how that impacts our sexuality. And sometimes, like, you need something a little bit faster, and that's fine.
Yes. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, my entire book is based on the premise that, you know, your sex life is not static. It's just not going to stay the same your whole life. It's just going to keep shifting. And the more you're open to understanding that every time you turn around, there's going to be a little road bump and you can fix it, rather than, oh my God, my sex life is now up in smoke, you're going to be happier. And a vibrator is just a great, great tool to add into that mix.
Yeah, I love that. This has been such an amazing conversation, and I really appreciate you chatting with me. If the listeners take one thing away from today's conversation, what would you want it to be?
I would say feel empowered in your sex life, right? You have the ability to go out and grasp your sex life, to embrace it, to find the awkward, to head to the awkward, to try new things, to say today's going to be a different day. Just realize that your sex life is not static. It's in your hands. It's not something magical, that pixie dust that comes down from the heavens to you. It's something that you can control and shape and create. And masturbation and vibrators are just some ways to do that. And so I want people to take that as the message.
Mm, yes. Where can the listeners find you at, and where can they find your book at?
I'm all over Instagram and TikTok at Dr. Batsheva, DrBatsheva, on Instagram. On TikTok, it's the Dr. Batsheva, because believe it or not, they threw me off. Can you believe that? I'm like the most conservative person I know. Anyway, they threw me off, so I'm now back on as the Dr. Batsheva. I do tons and tons of education on there. My book, Satisfaction Guaranteed, How to Have the Sex You've Always Wanted, just came out in paperback. It's in all the major paper. Yes, I'm so excited. Please, I love feedback. You know, it's in Amazon and Barnes and Noble, any independent bookstores. It's pretty much, you can find it anywhere. And I have a website, drbatsheva.com, and I love working directly with people. And I was so happy to be on this podcast. I love how honest you are and how open you are. It's been amazing.
Oh, well, thank you so much for chatting with me. This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life, or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns,
or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again, and see you next episode.